And so Steve brought me 5 boxes of books. And I read them. I was excited to read them all. And then there was no doubt in my mind that Holly Hardy needed to be the winner of the Poetry Center Book Award because Holly speaks to youth, and I work with youth, and they are the future. And she speaks to everybody else who hold this world that the youth will inherit. And she speaks to the murder of black and brown youth, which is some of the work I've been doing is preventing violence against children of color. So this is my statement about Holly's phenomenal book, How to Take a Bullet and Other Survival Poems. Holly Hardy's poems in How to Take a Bullet and Other Survival Poems are important, brave, whimsical, and wise. Hardy seeks dialogue with other poets, authors, and artists, burying borrowings like precious jewels, skillfully planting Leonard Cohen and Virginia Woolf, Thomas Pynchon, and Sylvia Plath. While her use of form is consistent and understated in the less is more sort of way, this quieter, almost traditional manner allows Hardy to enhance the reader's experience of her rich imagery and sensory detail. Glistening slices of moon splash through the lattice of leaves. Your fingers find the textures of trees barefoot in the moist earth, a guidebook in Braille. Her poem for Oscar Grant reminds us why it is important to be present to the most pressing need of our time, naming racial inequity before the law and doing something about police brutality and murders of unarmed black boys and men. Hardy reminds us that we live in a war zone, in a time where lessons in survival must become the business of poets and poetry. So I give you Holly Hardy. Thank you, Holly. Congratulations.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you so much, Mukta, for liking my poems, for choosing them, and for saying all those nice things about them. Thank you to Steve. Where'd you go? Steve and Elise for hosting this for us. This is lovely. And to you guys for coming out to support. It's really special to be here where I learned to write poetry. Where I learned to read poetry too. It's, wow, I was here for 10 years. This feels like a homecoming. So I'm gonna read you exclusively from How to Take a Bullet and Other Survival Poems. All of the titles in the book have been ruthlessly appropriated from the Worst Case Scenario Survival Handbook. They're all how-to poems, and I'm just gonna read you a bunch of them. How to survive adrift at sea. There are handprints all over your weekends, windows thrown wide to the night. The curve of loneliness renders strange fingers brushing your bare shoulder. You concoct an elixir of fire. Goldfish swim below the surface of sleep, unfurling the lantern sea until you can't stop dreaming the wet of it. You savor the sensation of drowning instead of writing. An impossible crush unfastens something that was neatly folded. Paper-thin panties hit the floor, dissolve into mint ice cream, the fragrance of another Wednesday night. But desire is never permanent, and something new inflates your lungs, vacating old beliefs. In the nick of time, in the nick of bone, in the bed of another lesson, in the unspoken, miles are traveled, and with these scissors, you can mend the holes. How to fend off a shark. Wet fists in your eyes, the thump of undrumming, a figure in your peripheral vision. Here is the rind of night. facing off on a rock of ice, nightgown whipping, ragged around your thighs. Because silence is an expression of fear. Unwave that flag, unsmoke that cigarette, unfuck that friend. These desperate little fistfuls of defiance. This jazz song does not belong to you. Warm, the sensation of sleep. Threadbare, the quality of wishing. Because police are at the door again. This wrecking ball in your bedroom. This fresh fountain of silver in your hair. Blue, the function of smoke. Rumpled, the flavor of resistance. There are things that vanish unexpectedly. The stone talisman you carried for luck. Photographs burned in a fire. Bewildered, the pillow of regret. Because our experiences overlap, bodies at rest, hoarding dreams like stolen rainwater. Okay, this is the dark one. It's my free bird at readings. How to perform a tracheotomy. The first thing you need to know is that the tracheotomy is an act of desperation and or violence that should only be committed when there is no other option. Some circumstances when it might be necessary to perform a tracheotomy. The victim is choking on a thin mint and is unresponsive to the Hindlick maneuver. The victim is your lover, and he, she has disappointed you by eating the last Girl Scout cookie. The victim wrote bitch on the side of your car with a Sharpie. The victim has an irritating, high-pitched voice or British accent. The victim is a stranger that fell in front of a bus wearing shoes you could never afford. What you will need: a razor blade, knife, scissors, or hammer. A straw, a pen, or a stale red vine. There will not be time for sterilization of your tools, so don't bother. Infection is the least of your worries. How to proceed. 1, kneel over the victim and whisper, "Do you know what you've done to deserve this?" 2, move your finger about 1 inch down the neck until you feel a bulge. 3, seize the tool of your choosing and grasp it with both hands high above your head. 4, aim for the bulge and be brave. 5, insert the breathing straw into the bloody hole. 6, if you have done the procedure correctly, you should be able to remove the victim's shoes. 7, run away. Okay, a dating poem. How to detangle a bird caught in your hair. First, you have to have hair. This trend towards baldness negates the problem. Once you have grown a luscious mane, gather images on your lion tongue. Ripe peaches, sizzle of bacon, crisp campfire scent of an almost winter night. Handful of rain or feathers or marbles, details of sunset, sand, and fast cars. Weave your materials carefully. Remember that birds like shiny things. The colors and flavors you choose may affect the type of bird you can lure into your hair nest. It helps to know what you're looking for. The hummingbird is popular due to its size and general friendliness. The swan is elegant but angry. Loons, pelicans, and ostriches are obviously to be avoided. With patience, you will eventually find a bird snarled in your hair. It might not be the bird you initially had in mind, but give it some time. This one might surprise you. Protect your eyes and face as you attempt to pet the iridescent feathers of your albatross or owl. Avoid wearing a hat. In the event that you tire of this entanglement, the following options are available to you. 1, tenderly cut the bird away like a piece of gum from a child's hair. 2, start a small fire on the back of your head and then begin to run. Another dating poem. How to control a runaway camel. Name your camel Alexander the Great, Charlie, Honey Baby, or Cherry Apple Bendover Surprise. Ownership begins with a name. Wrap your legs around the beast and dig your fingers into the brittle earth of its mane, coarse as a tongue. Learn how to say yes and no. Pay attention to the motion of sea in your hands, dry, folding, and folded as a paper bird. Say to yourself, practice makes permanent. Your camel reeks of damp socks and urine, leftover laundry, after you fall out of love. Never tell Charlie where you are going. Remember, the ride is just a game. You must chase the one who runs. Run from those who chase. This is the one that Mukto is reading. How to leave a trail for rescuers if you are lost in the wilderness. A feminist poem, I suppose. Leave your fingernails behind in the dirt. Scatter clumps of hair in the breeze. A gently sliced Achilles will paint your footprints daintily. Let the wind take your clothes like an old song about endings. Lie back in your bed of leaves. Let the night insects bite and sting your naked flesh. Stay awake and wait for me. I'd fall for you, he said, if you were in trouble. I'm a sucker for a damsel in distress. The day turns burnt evening, then midnight. A navy blue forest appears. Glistening slices of moon splash through the lattice of leaves, silhouettes of wind damp with possibility. Your dress might flutter if it were a dress. Your fingers find the textures of trees, barefoot in moist earth, a guidebook in braille. Somewhere, the sound of the river rolls over and over itself. This one I always dedicate to my father, How to Avoid Breaking Through the Ice, even though it is a total fiction. The trick is to glide across the surface of life, like children skating a winter pond, mittened hands clasped, cheeks and noses pink with cold, hearts pumping exertion, exhilaration, as round and round they rush, avoiding the weak edges, threatening to break, open like thunder, and plunge you into the deep. A light snow falls, flakes settle unnoticed on eyelashes, a fresh glaze of white erasing, slim lines of barren forest, the silent hawk circling, brush strokes against the sky. In the distance, a curl of smoke grays the air above your home, but you do not think of your mother, chopping wood, building the fire, working nights at the factory. You do not think of your father, somewhere far away, trying to sketch your face in his notebook, realizing he can no longer conjure your image, turning instead to the waitress, drawing the curve of her neck, the line of her hip, her apron. She is unaware of the secret growing inside her, somewhere beneath the slippery surface, in the frigid dark, where life moves at its own pace. How to Survive an Earthquake. This is for Haiti. January 12th, 2010. As the sun rises over tents of sticks and tarps, your breath snags on jagged edges, begins to unravel. Orphans wander in search of mothers, dust caked gray in open wounds. In the rumbling aftermath, below the baseline, moans of horror muffle cries for help. Desperation breeds thieves, rape waits in shadows. 100,000 dead, your city aches in ashes. Hands pressed together in prayer, missing hands, empty hands, hands holding hands, hands reaching for hope. Husband cries for wife, his voice a siren, his bare feet soaked in blood, he squats in the wreckage of his life, cradles your head, waits for an angel. This is How to Navigate a Minefield. I think I wrote this one for Saturday Night Special, where we have a theme every month, and I think the theme was change. The pen, the page, these weapons of change, these agents of inertia, of insurrection, of your voice, like the slow motion of snowmelt sculpting a new landscape, as the flower of our times nods whitening, you locate change in abandonment. Mine the body's oceans, the moon's slow tidings churning with blood and sand. blinded by the glare of culture, you attend to your dailiness. Remember the lessons of history, old news tied to the feet of birds, once urgent messages driven on the backs of beasts, news of revolution, news of change, of new kinds of freedom, or half empty, the change of new oppression. Another silent story embedded in the subtext of the disappeared, of murdered journalists, grandmothers marching in plazas and children burning to ash while we build new bridges, buy new phones, the dim threat of apocalypse unheeded. You execute change in the trenches, alive with resistance, minding the power of rocks to bend the blood. How to Take a Bullet. So I suppose I should give Tony Marosevic credit for the title of this book, since I was going to name it How to Jump from a Building into a Dumpster. And she was like, Holly, no. No. And I was going to name it that, I think, because that was the first poem I wrote in the collection, and I wrote it in Maxine Chernoff's class. It was a cento. Yeah, yeah. So this is How to Take a Bullet. The wind is loud and deliberate, like big brothers and trucks on the highway. It brings the dark odor of low tide, blows a black fog into the hills, where it settles in like a foreign occupation, erases the contours of horizon. Trees whisper and sway, tap nervous fingers on glass houses, and a train hurries by, its whistle a wail, a fleeting moan, a mother on the anniversary of her son's death. You are on your knees, curled into yourself, rocking, singing, his uniform pressed to your cheek like a blankie. So I guess I should read How to Survive a Riot for Oscar Grant, 1986 to 2009. And I should say that this is a poem not just about the cause, but also about the tension between, like, I live in Uptown Oakland, right in the heart of every single protest. And I've lived there since 1997. And every time there's a protest, almost invariably, I'm on the side of the protesters. I feel very strongly, and I guess I'm very left-wing in that way. And yet, there's always backlash. The stores that I shop in are trash. My friends that own bars and restaurants get their windows smashed in. Other friends, you know, have problems. So there's this tension between, like, how do we protest and how do we not trash our own city? And how, like, where's the fear and where's the support? And so both of those voices are really strong and conflicting for me. And I think I'm hope that both of them come through in the poem. So How to Survive a Riot for Oscar Grant. Begin by living in Oakland, near the urban center. Become a casual observer of racial injustice. Watch a white cop shoot an unarmed black man in the back on the news over and over. Watch the crowd gather, storm clouds in the city center, ready to tear apart in protest, to loot, burn, destroy their own city for justice or injustice. Board up your windows, turn out the lights, hold your breath. The mother cries murder when the verdict comes down, involuntary manslaughter, 2 to 4 years, and then the killer goes free. We'll avenge you with our bodies, arrest us. We'll get drunk and rap about truth. We'll break your windows, we'll fuck up your car, riot on your porch, shit in your yard. This is protest. Lock up your vehicles and cover them with tarps, hoping to render them invisible. Convene with your neighbors on the roof like victims of a flood waiting to be rescued. Watch the flash mob burgeon in front of your home. Listen to the kaleidoscope of sound, shrill discord of car alarms, sirens wailing, kids shouting, crack bang of fireworks. Dogs barking, unseen bells ringing, someone is pounding a dumpster with a metal pipe or a ball bat. News choppers beat the air. Smoke bombs cloud the sky, fires bright orange and soot black smolder in garbage cans. Kids parade on foot and on bicycles. Black bandanas cover faces like bandits, running, laughing, drinking, protest. Lemmings climbing your gate, protest. They see you watching but don't care, protest. Nothing makes a town more beautiful than boarded up windows, sidewalks sparkling with blood and glass. On Channel 4, the local news shows hundreds of police in riot gear marching down Broadway like martial law. Cheers, they swoop in to clear the vandals from your lawn. Then silence. Remember Oscar Grant. How to Survive an Avalanche. Using only your keyboard, trace the outline of the woman you've always wanted to be. When you find yourself filling in the hair, the scales, the sharp, sharp teeth, let the sky bleed into the margins of this burgeoning narrative, this dirty white noise, this media drift. Let her blind grope find you in the dark, these paper soft fingertips, threadbare and alone, accumulating snow with wet red edges. How to smoke a cigar. These are necessary tools, you guys. Rough the edges, steamy as gravel. Your voice, smoke blue, graphite soft, a rain-slicked city. Focus your mouth. The lips are key. Unhinge your wicked daydreams. Let your teeth graze and your breath breathe. Head back, adjust your hat. Your heat, a small fever, beating like a sun. Stained fingers taste tobacco and earth, tiny lessons of adulthood. Your journey maps the body, unfurling its ghosts, shadow ballerinas twirling for no one. Just gonna read a few more. How to escape when tied up. No one can know your unpronounceable name. Raw skin and chapped hands measure the power of invisibility. This is your country now, tapestry of lost ambitions, pale as dust on the surface of someone else's bed. Turn your eyes upward to let shadows crawl across ceiling cracks, the soft accents of bondage. There's something about the texture of this burlap landscape. Its loose weave lets in rain and the rough hands of men. There's two more. This is How to Treat a Bullet or a Knife Wound. Actually, I wrote this one for, Paul's leaving now, but for a, it's okay. So he curated a reading at the Legion of Honor, and we were all asked to write a poem for the exhibit that was for Lee Miller and Man Ray. And it was really a cool reading. And so this is what I wrote about the two of them. So it's for Lee Miller, 1907 to 1977. Take off your gown, finger the trigger, reclaim the curve of your neck, a smooth white dove, your elegant hands disembodied, your severed breasts dismembered, defiant, ready for the feast. Walk backwards downstairs and into mouths, into arms full of objects, splintered glass, lilies and moon shadows, these words about love. The dead sleep in your arms with pretty white teeth and on the pages of journals. The texture of bondage is a bell jar, a trophy of light, birdcage, banjo, shadow of a saw, shrouded in mesh and lace, stripped, repurposed, recombined, reloaded. Man carves his name in the crook of your eyelid. You are the statue. You are the breath, restless and ricochet, iron and silk. In a landscape of drowned mouths where shells burst near snow, in a train full of bodies, in the symphony of war, smell the charred wet wood. Carry the blood, the bones, the bottle, these photos, your legacy of friendship, your necklace of loneliness. This is the last one I'll read, the last poem in the book, How to Land a Plane. It's the small things that hold us, handcuffs and leftover puzzle pieces, names like fences that keep us home. Always the stories are about freedom, how to disentangle, how to unglue. You are a kite on a frayed string. You are breakfast every morning. You are the voice of your mother quietly unscrewing the light bulb. You are the dog barking at strangers and skateboards. The city still beats at the heart of you. But the music of longing is melancholy. How can this grasping gesture reconcile the notion of impermanence? The door is open, and you can see the bright invitation of sun and sky. You are drawn to motion, like leaves unwinding the wind. Eventually, you will land somewhere. Thank you.